You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser on Bloomberg Radio.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week. It is Monday. I'm Carol Masser along with Kaylee Lines. If you want to understand the workforce of the future and what really will be needed and how leaders need to lead and make sure that they are providing the right skills and opportunities, then this next segment is definitely one you want to listen to. In 2019, Fortune named her one of the 50 most powerful women in business. Deanna Mulligan is CEO of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. She's also board chair. She's got a new book out, How Smart Companies Can Close the Skills Gap, and she joins us on the phone in New York City, and it's called Higher Purpose. So great to have you here with us. Deanna, welcome to Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Carol. It's great to be here, and I'm so excited to talk about my new book with you.
We do want to talk about it. I do want to also, though, ask you about your life since COVID and what it's been like for you as a leader, what it's been like for your team, going back to March and kind of where we are today. Just give us some thoughts about what it's been like.
Well, as you know, Guardian is a life insurance company, so we have always been aware of the possibility of a pandemic. As a matter of fact, our regulators require us in our stress testing to do a pandemic scenario every year. So we were fairly early to realize that this could be an issue, and coupled with the fact that we had completely redone our technology stack so that we had the flexibility to basically work from anywhere, we decided to work from home March 10th, and we are largely still in work from home mode, the whole company.
Wow.
Deanna, I want to pick up on the pandemic, but it has exacerbated a lot of what you talk about in your book, Higher Purpose, about the skills gap and retraining workers for different skills, because a lot of jobs, particularly in the services sector, might not be coming back. A lot of those businesses, the restaurants, they've closed, and that means all the people that worked there, if they are to be employed again, will likely need to be retrained. How would you advise companies to approach that?
That's right, Carol. I mean, this is going to be a huge issue. The COVID pandemic has accelerated a lot of things. First of all, in the work-from-home environment, people are working in different ways. Companies are moving faster to automate a lot of processes. There's a real demand for digital and video skills. There was before, but the way we work now has really accelerated that. So there is a lot of change. Someone said to me the other day, I wish I had a dollar for every CEO that said to me, you know, we have 2 or 3 years of change that we've implemented in 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And so there are going to be a lot of people who find themselves in the need of reskilling. And the premise of my book is that it really takes companies working together with corporations, foundations, government, employees need to take some responsibility. This problem is large enough that we really need to take kind of a multidisciplinary approach to the solution.
Not a new problem, though, because I feel like, Deanna, we've been talking about reskilling for a while now and making sure that, you know, the individuals who are out there, that they've got the right skills for the jobs that are needed. Where haven't we been keeping up? What's wrong? Are we sending people to college that don't need to go to college? They're not getting the right skills. They need different types of skills. What are we doing incorrectly?
Well, Carol, that's a really interesting question, and I do talk about that a bit in the book.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've done at Guardian and many other companies have done as well is we no longer require a college degree for every job. And what we are trying to do instead is hire on the basis of skills and give people the opportunity to be trained once they come to Guardian. And we're finding when we do that we've really opened up a whole new candidate pool, and a real bonus of that is it's a very diverse candidate pool that's more reflective of our community and our customers than if we required college degrees alone.
Why did you do that initially? I'm curious, what was the conversation, or who was the leader, or maybe you who came and said, you know, we need to change how we do this?
Well, as I said in the introduction, I'm in New York, and our headquarters in New York City was really pounded by Superstorm Sandy.
Right.
Back at the end of 2011, we had 5 feet of water in our building, and we left on a Friday afternoon and didn't come back for 9 months because mm-hmm. the infrastructure in the street under our building was torn up and required a lot of repair before we could come back. And so we struggled at that time with the old technology we had, we lost our phone system, and we really had to rely on our terrific employees who call customers, give customers their cell phone number. We struggled to find space for people, and I said, okay, we are never going to do this again. We are going to become location independent. And about that time, we hired a new CIO, Dean DelVecchio, who is featured in the book, and he and I put together a plan to say over the next 5 to 6 years, we want to be completely location independent. And we did that, and that required changing the infrastructure, but also reskilling a lot of employees. So we went from having, you know, our own data center to having most of our operations in the cloud, and we successfully reskilled hundreds of people to go from data center skills to new cloud-based skills.
So you did this at Guardian, but what is the reception like at the corporate level that you've seen for companies to say, hey, it's okay if you don't have a college degree because you have XYZ skill? I mean, are they open to that?
Well, when we first started talking about this in 2011, 2012, it was a revolutionary idea. But today, you hear all kinds of companies talking about this. And as a matter of fact, the Business Roundtable is talking about, you know, flexible skill stacking. So I think it's an idea whose time has come, and particularly now with the pandemic, there are so many people who are going to need to be retrained, and we can't rely on the government to do it all. We really, as I said before, need to do this in partnership.
Deanna, I want to talk about diversity and inclusion with you, and remind us of a story Carol and I were talking about earlier in the show. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, out saying today that the president can help the black community. They could benefit from his policies, but they have to want to be successful. He made a lot of noise with that comment. Is that where the responsibility belongs? Who is responsible for positioning marginalized and minority communities for success?
Well, I can tell you what we're doing right now at Guardian. We have a program to hire several hundred interns every year, and the majority of our interns now come from economically disadvantaged communities, come from minority populations, women, and we've had actually great success bringing them into the company. We decided about 5 years ago to recruit from community colleges, and we were talking about this earlier, that not everyone needs a college degree at this point to enter Guardian, and we've had great success with a much more diverse population coming in from community colleges. So we have found it to be to our benefit to really expand our horizons in terms of diversity coming into the company, and also just casting our net a little wider in our management training programs inside the company, and making sure that up-and-coming women and people of color and LGBTQ population all have an equal opportunity to advance and to benefit from having mentors and mentoring. So, for example, our leadership team, the direct reports to the CEO, every week is now hearing a report from our employee resource groups who represent these groups inside Guardian, and really having honest conversations about how those people feel, what it takes to advance, and we're seeing terrific results.
So it's interesting because so you've been intentional, you've been deliberate, right? Like, and this is what needs to be done if you really want to create a diverse workforce, correct?
Yes, I think that starting at the top with the CEO, there needs to be some intentionality of saying we're going to bring our workforce in line with the communities we serve and the customers we serve.
Well, and of course, you are CEO of Guardian, one of very few Fortune 500 female CEOs, but you are going to retire, and that will be one less in the ranks. What do you think your legacy has been, and what advice do you have for the women who would come after you?
Well, we have a lot more women now at Guardian than we did when I joined, and actually our board is also very diverse. We have 5 women on our board, and we're very proud of that. And so I do spend time mentoring women, and I think the advice I give to women coming after me is don't give up. When I graduated from business school, there was only one CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and she had bought the company herself, and it really didn't feel like a career goal that I could attain because I didn't have any role models. When I became CEO of Guardian, there were 14 other female CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and I think now there are 37. So while that's not enough, we are making progress. We need to make it faster, but my number one piece of advice is don't give up.
Okay, but we've been working on this for decades. Why is it such a problem? You've been through this. Why is it still so difficult for us to see women at the top? And don't even ask me about black CEOs, because it's, you know, a handful or not even.
Carol, I think we're poised to make great progress on this. I think the events of the last year has really brought this to the top of the agenda of many CEOs, and shame on them. It should have been at the top of the agenda before.
Yeah.
It's been at the top of our agenda for a while. But I do think it has really become unacceptable to not have representation inside companies, inside boardrooms, and I think that's true all across society. So I think I'm hopeful that we really are going to see change.
What would be your one piece of advice to leaders, I'm thinking, who are listening to this right now, that the first step to do to make, you know, their workforce much more inclusive? Because, listen, we've seen all the studies, right, Deanna? We've all seen them about, whether it's McKinsey, you name it, that financially you do better when you've got a diverse, you know, senior base and a workforce all across the board. Just got about 45 seconds. So what would be the first step you would suggest to everybody?
It starts at the top. I think people watch and model the CEO's behavior, and I think reaching out and making sure every meeting you're in has a diverse representation in the meeting, and just really being intentional and modeling the behavior is going to be what works.
Yeah, I've heard intentional a lot. I think it's a really important part. Deanna, thank you so much. Good luck with everything. Certainly good luck with the book. Deanna Mulligan, CEO of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. Her new book out is called Higher Purpose, How Smart Companies Can Close the Skills Gap, joining us on the phone in Westchester. I mean, I agree with her. I think, Kaylee, we're hearing this from a lot of leaders that it is different this time around, and I hope so, because we have been talking about racism. We've been talking about the lack of D&I in corporate culture, so I do hope it's different.
Well, it seems the narrative has changed from a shareholder perspective. Shareholders saying, we will hold you accountable for this. And I wonder if that is what ultimately is going to make the difference.
Consumers and clients too, right? Mm-hmm. They want to see this in companies that they work with. All right, you're listening to Bloomberg Businessweek, and this is Bloomberg Radio.